The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. For many of you, I know, follow sort of the lectionary and the daily readings or come to the daily masses and stuff. And one of the things that's really important that leads us up to this particular point and to this particular gospel is there's a whole lot of examples of Jesus and his confrontations with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and scholars of the law. And so one of the things that happens is, of course, you know, his apostles are a witness to this particular situation. And there's sort of this great entitlement, of course, that a lot of the religious leaders of the day really had in their lives. And so I'm not sure if there's that many of you. We mentioned that we're doing the Chosen series here, and I'm not sure how many of you may have watched it before. But there's something in the first episode there that they do that's really, really telling. So they go to Nicodemus, who is one of the righteous Pharisees. He was sort of like one of the good Pharisees at that point that's docile to Jesus' teaching and open to everything. But there's a point where one of the Roman soldiers walks into his home and like into his tent and everything like that. And he walks in and he's like, "Oh, well, this is pretty nice." You know, he has that reaction of like, this is kind of an opulent existence. And so you see a Roman soldier recognizing that about Nicodemus, a Pharisee. And so we had one of these readings the other day at our school mass. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, how do I explain this to our young kids here at the school? And then there was three times that the Lord says, "Woe to you," you know, "woe to you." And I said, "Does anybody know what woe means in the first place?" And nobody knew what woe meant. So I'm glad we went through and qualified what woe meant. And so I gave the example of this. I was just like, "Woe to the student that hits their neighbor during mass, for they will be in trouble with their teacher after mass." You know, it's just like, it is a warning that you're going to be in trouble if you keep following on the same path, right? And then we talked about Pharisees and Sadducees and different things like that. And I did ask the question if anybody knew what a Sadducee was. And one young person said, "My first thought is a horse." And I was like, "No, a Sadducee is definitely not a horse, but it is one of the religious leaders of that day." And so this is what Jesus is up against. And as we see, in a similar way, because that's the worldview and the situation that the apostles are also in, they sort of also have a sense of entitlement or of aggrandizement, like, oh, we can be like at a really high, honored position, which is one of the things that Jesus warns about the scribes and Pharisees. And so I didn't have the box with me at the time, but I gave this example to our school children. This is a box of Lucky Charms, and I specifically picked out a family size on purpose because I think it's very illustrative of something. So I know nobody here in our community would ever do such a grievous crime as the one I'm about to mention, but I know nobody here knows anybody that would ever pick out the marshmallows out of one of these delicious cereals so that the next person that goes to get a bowl of cereal would just get the tasteless, crunchy, worthless bits. You know, nobody here would do that. And it created such a stir among the students. I was like, this must be a very universal example. And so that's why I kind of bring it with me today. And so in that box of Lucky Charms, the religious leaders of the day got used to kind of a marshmallow world, right? You know, they're like, all our life is marshmallows all the time. It's all the good parts. But what's one of the important parts that I mentioned about this? Generally speaking, this is not an individual size, right? You know, it's specifically family size. There's other people who are going to eat from the communal box of cereal. So it shows like an inherent lack of everybody else there. You know, it's a complete lack of sort of the idea of servant leadership, which Jesus is putting forth. And it's just like me, you know, it's just like, I just want the marshmallows. I don't care who gets the box after me. And so one of the things that we see that we're reminded of here is this very last sentence in the gospel. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he's completely reorienting what people had seen before, that he didn't come to live an opulent existence where the money and the honor of titles and different things came to him, but he actually came to help his people. He was a leader, you know, for sure, but he actually came to help his people. In that same verse that I was describing to the young people, one of the things it says in there too is it's like, you place many burdens on the backs of the people, but you yourselves do not lift a finger to help them at all. And so we realize that, you know, I used to coach rock climbing in my case, but anybody who's ever coached a sport or taught anything, in fact, you know, can you imagine just like taking a basketball out on a basketball court and getting all of the folks and be like, all right, good luck, everyone. You know, and just like play basketball. It's like, no, there needs to be some explanation, some teaching of that. But what happened is that the religious leaders really held this knowledge sort of for themselves, and they say they lorded it over them, right? I am the one who has the key to knowledge, not you. And that's sort of how the air that they had about themselves. Instead of passing on what they learned of God to other people to be at their service. Because what do you do for somebody when you teach them how to do something? You often take away anxiety and being lost. Everybody hates anxiety and nobody likes to be lost. But if somebody's confused when they're learning something, oh gosh, do we remember those people in our lives who have been mentors and said, oh, hold on one second, let me help you out. Let me show you how to do this. And you know, so some people probably remember the very first person that taught them how to tie their shoes or ride their bike or do something like that because they really helped you not be lost, to remove some anxiety from your life. We remember that unbelievable example of Jesus, which we haven't gotten to do in 2 years now, but Holy Thursday, as we lead up into Easter, what's the example that we usually reenact for everybody? When Jesus washes his apostles' feet. And then when he does that, the clincher at the very end of that, he says, I give you an example. Go and do likewise. His example is this example of service, of actually going out into the world and being servant leaders. So there's one other prop I brought. This one you won't be able to see very well, but when I go to the back of the church today, I'll bring it with me. But some of you have seen it, I'm sure. This is our workbook. So Father Carey and I were at our priestly convocation a week ago. And so one of the things that we actually did, it was talking about like a lot of healing. One of the doctors from the John Paul II Healing Center came there. And so the picture here is from the famous Italian artist Caravaggio. And so this is St. Thomas with his hand in the wounded side of Christ. And so this was our main focus for this healing sort of retreat that we did. And it's an amazing, amazing depiction because Jesus is really, he has his hand on Thomas's hand and is even pulling him into that wound, into himself more closely. And then you have, you know, Peter and John's, and they're looking like intently at the wound, but it's Thomas that's a little bit in surprise. He's a little bit like shocked. There's something very unique about this. And we went around, many of the priests said, what do you notice about this painting? And one of the priests said, he's the only one that's unclothed. He's the only one that's naked, that's actually bearing himself in this particular depiction. So one of the things that Jesus does for us, one of the things that he realizes is to be a servant leader is that he actually bore his woundedness to other people, and then he brought them close to himself. There's kind of this saying out there, and they say it at this retreat and other thing, that hurt people. And that, you know, people who are healed, you know, healed people heal people. They literally seek to bring themselves in. And that's what Jesus did. He's bringing them in. And so it's like to open up some of the most difficult, hardest, and painful parts of our life and to unite them with the most difficult and wounded parts of Christ is to begin to heal. You know, this vulnerability that we have with each other is how we build relationship ultimately. You know, I often say it's the same way that we get to know one another through conversation and time is the same way that we get to know the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ. Is there, in friendship, there is vulnerability. We have to bear some of the difficult parts of ourselves to get to know each other so that we can begin to heal. That's exactly what Jesus did for Thomas, and that's what he does for us. For the people that he knew were going to be his witnesses, and his evangelists to the world, that he was going to spread these things to the world. So imagine what that's like. I've mentioned this before, but St. Paul VI, Pope Paul VI, he said this very famous phrase. He said, people listen to witnesses more readily than they listen to teachers. And if they listen to teachers, it's because they're witnesses. Imagine what an evangelist St. Thomas was like after being a witness to that, to actually having his finger into the wounds of Jesus. He's just like, I was there. Jesus changed my entire life. And because of that personal change and that exchange of vulnerability, he was able to spread that message. And they said St. Thomas went as far as India back in the day, spreading the gospel. And so all of these apostles, because of this exchange that they have with Christ in their difficulties and their humanity, they are witnesses to how Christ changes them. And that's what we hope to be. You know, we hope to go out and spread the world and be witnesses to other people. But we always do so with sort of like a backdrop, right? Like the backdrop of the family size, the bigger picture, that there is a community here that's at stake. And so I used to say on our climbing team, we are our greatest resource. You know, it's in helping each other and serving each other that we actually serve the church and we build it up into the body of Christ. So that's our call, not to be like exalted in this place of honor, but to go and do likewise, like Jesus said, to lead the way, spread the gospel, but do so in the service of other people. And if we do that very thing by witnessing to Christ, it's amazing how people are converted and drawn into the story of Jesus. And they're like, if he did that for you, gosh, I want him to do that same thing for me. That seemed like glow that many of you have had, that sort of light of Christ. That's one of the great things that we hope to be to other people. And so, you know, in our struggles, in our difficulties, just like the Lord on a crucifix bears himself to us, you know, we bear ourselves to him, and then we are healed. And then we go out to the rest of the world, and we continue to give his healing to the rest of the world. God bless you all today.